Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here on Zoom with my mum. Hi mum.
Jessie, I don't like it when you're not next to me.
Really? You poke me usually, so I thought I'd give you a little bit of a wide berth this week.
And I've got a floppy tripod.
That's what she said. Or he said. He said, it's all in your head. Oh my God, we just... Anyway, that's very, very lovely segue that I didn't even think I could possibly do. We have Lauren Mayberry of Churches, the Scottish band who are fantastic, on today. And they have a song called He Said, She Said, and that just kind of tickled me. Mum, you're not having to cook today, so what are you having for dinner?
I have cooked. I've made myself prawn curry.
Oh, nice. What, with butternut squash? Mango?
No, I've done it with mange two peas in and red and yellow peppers. Lots of yoghurt and Bob's your uncle.
Nice. I saw you for a barbecue yesterday. You did your famous pui lentils. They went down a treat.
Did they, darling? Have you been eating them today?
Yeah, I've had them like for lunch and dinner. Yeah.
Good.
So when people are listening to this, I've probably had a baby by now, so I won't be whinging anymore. I'll probably be whinging about being tired by this point, but you won't have to hear it. I'm really excited to have this guest on. My daughter is a massive fan of her, but alas, it's bedtime, so I don't think that I should let her meet her.
Oh, it's only 7.
I know, is that really mean? I don't know if also Lauren will really be... Anyway, Lauren is a fan of the podcast, I believe, so that's nice. And she's zooming in from LA, because she's made it big time, Mum. The Glasgow girl is now living in LA. So they're a trio, and I don't know if all of them live there.
Darling, can I just check that I've not left my curry on?
Yeah. And yeah, that she's a really amazing musician, front woman, singer, like the most kind of memorable voice, and makes a bloody banger. And they've got a new record out on the 27th of August. Oh, my wedding anniversary. Lovely. Maybe that's what Sam will get me for my wedding anniversary. And she's in the waiting room. Lauren Mayberry coming up on Table Manners. Lauren Mayberry, we have you here. You're zooming in from LA. Your lovely boyfriend has just helped us with tech support. You have two microphones going. Oh, shit. Hon, who's coming in? Right, I was going to mouth the love you, Sam, but you fuck off, Sam. You fucking just made a big noise. I love you. My daughter, I'm a bit sad that... she'll be sad that she's not speaking to you, Lauren, because she's a big fan.
Aw.
It's her, like, top requested song that we have to have in the car many times, and actually my husband introduced her to it.
Oh,
it's a big family fave.
That's
you better
awesome.
Tell her which song, darling.
She knows because I already sent her the video of my daughter singing.
Because we are DM friends. We DM.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you are.
Well, this is kind of how this happened. I feel like I posted about He Said, She Said because I think it's an amazing song. And then you said that you were a big fan of the podcast.
Yes.
And then I said, well, you must come on because this is my way of flirting. And and then I sent you just to seal the deal, I sent a video of my daughter singing the song whilst in the car. So there, and here we are now. You are zooming in.
Tiny girl fans are my favourite demographic. So you totally had me there. And yeah, I've listened to you guys a lot this last year because Sam was here sometimes, but he was away with his family for some of the lockdown stuff. So... yes, it was a very comforting listen. I would listen to it at nighttime when I was making my dinner and stuff because it felt fitting. I would make a slightly rubbish meal whilst listening to you guys talk about nice meals that you were having. And it felt very comforting, especially because, yeah, your mother and daughter.
Miss your family.
Yeah, haven't been able to see my folks since Christmas 2019. So it's been quite a long time now.
Oh, Lauren.
So, yeah, well, I mean, I'm very lucky. I live in a house with cats and a nice... I'm very safe and fine. I'm probably privileged, but yeah, it's just weird because we have US visas and those... We've got our own US visa renewed, but you can't get to the embassy to get it stamped. So we can't really leave. Otherwise, we won't be able to get back in. And we've got tour dates here. So our management were like, just sit tight.
Lauren, why have you got a jumper on when you live in LA?
I did realise when I stepped into the Zoom square, I was like, I look a bit like Where's Wally, which wasn't my intention. But
no, you don't.
Well, it's raining today, so I thought it would be cosy for me. And I miss lots of things, but every time there's an occasion to wear a jumper. And Americans are quite intense about their air conditioning in a way that yeah. So I carry one with me all the time anyway. Not that I go anywhere, but when I used to go places, if you go into a shop or a cinema, it's absolutely Baltic immediately. So I have to have a large jumper to put over my entire self, just in case.
So do you miss Scotland?
I do, yeah.
What do you miss most, the rain or the midges?
I'll take the rain over the midges, 100%. But yeah, I guess it's weird when you move away from a place because it's not like I left because I didn't like it anymore. I was just conscious that I have an opportunity to travel and do something that not a lot of people get to do. And, you know, I don't have kids. I don't have things that hold me to a place necessarily. And I was conscious that, I don't know why I decided this when I was 27. I was like, well, everybody's putting a timer on women in entertainment. So you need to do as much as you can while you can and also figure out a way to do something afterwards, which maybe sounds overly negative and overly paranoid, but I do think that. I'm like, I would love to be Shirley Manson or PJ Harvey or any of those people that get to create constantly forever, but I just am unsure if that would be the case. So I was like, I need to figure out a way to be able to work in creative stuff after this, because there's no session front woman isn't literally a job. So it's like, but yeah, so we're in Los Angeles trying to expand on the old writing CV.
So what are you writing with other people as well?
Trying to, yeah. I'd only ever written lyrics for myself or projects that I had been in. If someone else wanted to sing but didn't want to write words, then I would just feed them forward. So, but I think it's kind of nice, and especially most of the stuff we've been doing, I think all the stuff almost is writing for female singers and female artists. And I feel like that's something that appeals to me a lot because I haven't been in a lot of those kinds of rooms as an artist, but the ones I have been in, it's just been all men all the time. So when you're like, this is what my concept is and this is what I want to do, a lot of the times people are supportive, but other times they don't get it at all. So I feel like I'd like to... I'm only 33. I'm almost 34. I don't know why I'm putting a timestamp on myself so early, but part of me is like, I'd like to be the old wise owl in the room that can be like, shh, shh, shh. She's trying to say something. What is it you want to say? That would be my... If someone could pay me for that, that'd be great.
It's so funny. It's not funny, actually. It's not surprising that you do say about the shelf life of women, because most women that come on this podcast that are in music say exactly the same thing, and they feel it too, and it's really crap. But...
Yeah. And it's odd because I don't want to live too much in like the fear realm, but I also don't want to be naive because I know that realistically it's more likely that that will happen. And even like, I think it's bizarre to be confronted with your own age and aesthetic, even if people are saying something nice that they think they're saying is very nice, when they're like, oh wow, you wouldn't know she was 33, you look so much younger. And then it just gets me in my own head where I'm like, yeah, but then we're placing the worth on a woman's youth and that's going to go away. And then when I do quote unquote look my age, what does that mean? Does that mean I cease to be relevant artistically? And so yeah, part of me was like, I understand that's a very, I'm lucky to have that, I'm lucky to get to do that, and I do fucking love my job, but I'm also conscious that at some point the job might not exist in that way. And if I've learned anything about anything in this industry, it's that once you're viewed as old news, people are much less likely to let you try anything. And that sounds really savage. I didn't move here to just be like a depressive cranky person, but you know, future-proofing, because I do, at the end of the day, I fucking love music and making music, and I would like to get to do that for a while, but I don't know.
I understand the fear, but I also think like you've got a new record out with Churches.
Yes.
In end of August. It sounds killer. It sounds big. And like you're doing that, so you're still doing your band. And then I think I understand that you want to write for other people. It's a brilliant thing to be involved in, especially if you like collaborating. You know, you're part of a band and to be able to collaborate with other people, other women, other female voices, you know, I get it all. And sometimes when you feel like you've put all your eggs in one basket, it can feel quite scary in the old music world.
Yes, good to have a couple of plates spinning, which is a very table manners-y metaphor.
Let's talk about this. So you cooking, feeling a bit homesick. What were you cooking a lot of whilst in lockdown? And what have you, are you a good cook? I've got so much to ask you.
I feel like I've gotten better. I've definitely gotten better during this time period, because I feel like when you're on tour, even if you're going for the quote-unquote healthy option, it's not really that healthy a lot of the time. And if I'm on tour, I try and eat vegetarian, but a lot of the time that's just mac and cheese or like junk food versions of regular food. I don't know what to call it. That's not offensive. Pita will be right on my ass about that. But so I think being at home and just being able to be like, okay, I'm going to try and make healthy things. And I got into a weird pickle by the end of the last round of touring where I think I just really messed up my guts, I think, because I'd had a couple of like vocal throat infection things and I'd taken antibiotics for them, and then we were touring, and then I think I just when I eventually went to a doctor about it, they were like, that plus, were you doing a lot of worrying during 2019? And I was like, yes, a lot of worrying. And they were like, you've basically worried yourself into an upset gut issue. And I was like, oh no. So I had to try and figure that out and what was irritating and what wasn't. And it would just be like, I would wake up one day and my face would be like swollen and like with hives all over it and stuff if I'd eaten certain things. And now I've kind of got to a place where I think I can eat that stuff again. It was just a case of building back up. So I had to cut out gluten and dairy and all those things for a while, which sounds very LA. Whenever I was doing stuff, I wanted to be like, it's not because I moved here, it's because I fucked up my guts. But yeah, so I got, Amelia Freer does a lot of like healthy but actually tastes like stuff recipes. So I've been doing some of that, and Anna Jones. And there's this book, which has a name I don't love, but The Beauty Chef. And it's about like gut healthy cooking. So I can pickle basically anything. I can pickle it now. if it stands still, I can pickle it. So
you like kimchi?
Yes. I love it. Love kimchi. Yeah. I love one of my favorite things, and Sam, my boyfriend, thinks it's mental. I make these like just pickled red onions, and it's just so easy, and I'll just eat a little bowl of them. You can go on the side of anything, but if I want a little snack, I'll just sit and eat my stinky pickled onions. And it's flavorful.
What a great girlfriend.
Yeah, that sounds nice, doesn't it?
Give us a kiss, Sam. What were you worrying about on tour, just apart from, you know, the shows going well and all that? Was it stressful?
I think, well, we had a bit of a tough situation on the last tour where we'd done this feature, and then that person then went on and collaborated with another artist who was quite a high-profile domestic abuser, and we were like, oh God, do we have to say something about this? Because our whole brand and our whole fan base is built on not that.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh my God, I guess we have to say something about it. And it was kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if we didn't say anything, then that would be quite cowardly, but also wouldn't be very honest, and we don't want to be hypocritical. But then if you do say something, then you're drawing attention to it. And it went very badly, I will say. Oh. Yeah, it went pretty badly, and there was a lot of like security problems in it. Yeah, it was bad. And just stuff like, yeah, it's been good to have the time off in a way to reflect on those things. Because, yeah, there would just be things like I would wake up in the night, like in the morning, not aware of the fact I must have gotten up during the nighttime, and I'd put like chairs and loads of stuff in front of the hotel door, and I don't remember doing any of that. Like, I don't recall it. And I was like, oh, right. But your brain and your gut are really connected, so one influences the other. And then I just started having like really bad allergies to things, and like my skin was like, looked like it had been like burned half the time, and I was like, what's going on? So I just slather stage makeup on it and then go to the gigs. So I think it was good to have time off and be like, yes, but maybe it wasn't just the sheets, you know. And it's interesting how food is all connected to those things, that you develop food intolerances because your body's already upset or whatever. But everything's fine now. It's fine. My guts are great. Everything's really great, regular. It's good.
Oh, man, that sounds incredibly stressful and frightening.
Well, yeah.
So can you eat bread now and things like that?
I mean, I choose my gluten.
But it's not great bread in LA, is it?
Well, this is, I think, a strange. American bread is very, like, sweet or sugary or something. I can't. So there's one place near us, a little local bakery, and they do, like, just this really nice sourdough. And I'm like, okay, this is the place. This is where we'll go. But yeah, even, like, a healthy, I guess you can't see air quotes on a podcast, but a healthy, seeded bread. It's always very, like, sweet, and that's bizarre to me. I don't understand. And there's certain things that just are different. Like, once, just after I'd moved, I had a small cry in a supermarket because I was like, everything is the same, but it's different. I don't understand. Like, things that you just don't know the brand names of certain things, or, like, yeah, and it's interesting.
So where do you shop in LA? Where do you like?
Well, there's a little... Well, it's not. I think it's a California chain, but it's a chain of supermarkets called Sprouts. So I do that. And then we have, like, if we're feeling really bougie, we'll go to, like, the farmer's market and stuff like that. And I got one of my favorite 2020 purchases was this thing called a lettuce grow, which is...
Lettuce?
Basically, yes. And it's like a... It's a big, like, tower, and you put water in the bottom, and it will push the water around to keep the plants alive, and you can grow, like, vegetables and herbs and all this stuff. And I murder everything in a garden ever. I can't keep anything. And this keeps it alive.
So what vegetables are you getting out of it then? What are you doing?
I've had loads of things. I've had a couple of failures, but I've had lots of different lettuces, some rocket, coriander, basil, cauliflower once, which was quite bizarre.
Wow.
And you can get, like, peppers, strawberries, all kinds of stuff. And if you go on their website, I'm not sponsored by them.
What's it called?
Lettuce grow.
Lettuce,
like, let us grow.
Like,
it's a play on words.
Yes. And I love a pun anyway, so I was like, great.
Yeah.
And I've you can put in, like, your postcode and where you're based, and they recommend, like, if you're indoor, outdoor, what plant will survive, etc. So basically it's
Have you got a garden then?
Oh, it's really pretty as well.
It looks quite cool. So my mum, when I speak to her on the phone, is like, show me the lettuce grow.
Oh, wow.
Does yours look like the one on the advert?
Darling.
I mean, that's much... Yeah, there's a few holes in mine where things haven't come through.
That's amazing.
I know that the Instagram algorithm is evil, but at the same time, it did recommend me that, and I did want it. So there we are.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Where did you grow up in Scotland?
I grew up in and around Stirling. So I lived in Dunblane for a bit, and then in the countryside, a place called Thornhill, until I moved to Glasgow for university. So most of the time in quite, like, either a small town or quite rural. So yes. And I guess I was thinking about this before the podcast. I'm like, my mum did a really good job with the cooking when I think about what my peers were eating. And I think about how ungrateful me and my sister were. Like, she would be trying to cram vegetables in us. And it's like, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, that's not necessarily a thing that's that popular. And yeah, she would make us like ratatouille and things like that. And my sister and I would call it rat pooey and be really rude about it.
That's so mean.
It's so mean. And
did
I think about it.
Her rat's pooey.
We were so rude about things. And the poor woman, like, you know, both my parents were working jobs. My mom was a teacher. And she'd pick us up, take us home, make this food. And then we'd be rude about it. I feel so guilty as an adult. I'm like, I'm sorry, Mum. I'm sorry. So, yes.
It's funny. We used to do ratatouille a lot. You'd do a baked potato with
you
ratatouille
hated
and grated cheese. I think we all hated it. It was slightly kind of miserable looking veg. So we were doing the same.
I don't think it was. I always thought it was great because I had a French boyfriend and he introduced me to ratatouille. So I always thought it was exotic. But we used to have it with sausages and baked potato, didn't we?
That's what we did, yeah. So, okay, so your mum was quite a good cook or do you kind of, she always made an effort?
I think she was good. And yeah, she was making an effort to get nutrients into us. Like, yeah, she would be like, you won't have Monster Munch for your school snack. You'll have a little box of raisins and healthier crisps, which are still crisps. But
she was ahead of the game.
You know, she really was. And it, yeah, it's just funny when you think about certain things where I'm like, oh yeah, it was the 90s. Like, if it was a special occasion, we would have a gammon steak with like a pineapple ring on it and stuff like that. And that was like the height of luxury. Whereas now I'm like, I don't know if I would eat it necessarily.
What's your best meal that she used to cook? Your celebration meal? Was it gammon?
That was if somebody fancy was coming around, not necessarily in-house. That was if somebody we wanted to really show that we had the style. She used to make, maybe this is horrible to people if microwaves are viewed as terrible things to cook with, but she used to make this.
I love my microwave.
Like Marks & Spencer's had this little microwave cookbook, and she would make a chili, like a chili, in the like this big casserole dish in the microwave, and that was like the treat that we would get. So,
do you like chili still?
Yes, yeah. Well, I made chili for my parents once, and they were like, oh, it's taking so long. Because it was made on a hob, and I was like, yes, but it needs the flavours. The flavours must infuse. And they were like, just stick it in the microwave, it'll be done in 5 minutes.
Did so your dad cook?
He did. I mean, he definitely came into his own after me and my sister moved out. And also, I think since he's retired, he's like, now when I phone my parents on FaceTime, my mum's like, can't really talk, your dad's making a paella or whatever. I'm like, okay. Whereas in like the 90s, if we were left home with my dad, like a nice dinner would be, you know those old El Paso like nacho kits. He would be like, right, we'll have nachos for dinner. That's what we would eat as a fun treat. And I guess living in Los Angeles now, I'm like, oh right, that's not what that's meant to taste like. But I have fun memories.
We were talking about Chicken Tonight the other day. Do you remember Chicken Tonight? That big rare, like it was like the most exciting thing, wasn't it? Sauce in a jar.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't buy that.
But I know, and that's why we all wanted it.
Oh, okay.
And it had a good song.
We were really... Oh, yeah. Chicken Tonight.
I feel like chicken tonight, like chicken tonight. Yeah, anyway.
An amazing jingle. We were always really lusty over pot noodles and rustlers, because you would see the adverts on TV all the time, and my mum would be like, I am not feeding you that. And then as an adult, I was like, yeah, I can see why. We don't know what's in a rustler, but... I really wanted it. Really did.
Where are you eating out at the moment in LA? Where's some of your favourite spots?
Well, we're quite near Pasadena, so we're like quite far out in the east. But there's a nice restaurant near us called Hippo, which I
haven't heard of it.
It's like kind of new American stuff, and it's got a nice little patio. It had a patio before COVID, but they've really lent into their patio now. And I guess there's loads of good Mexican stuff, and there's lots of good sushi and ramen and like Asian foods and stuff. Haven't found any good Indian food in Los Angeles, I have to say.
And in Glasgow is good.
You know, I've been spoiled, and I lived in New York for a little bit before coming here, and I couldn't find, there was that stretch of curry restaurants in Manhattan, but outside of that, I was like, yeah, I don't want, like, I got a Sag Paneer once that was just like liquid. It looked like green juice. It was very odd. I was like, what did you do to the spinach? I don't understand. So yes, I feel like that is the one thing I really, really, really miss here. It's just really good curry. Can't find it. So whenever we're in the UK, it's like London, Manchester, Glasgow, anywhere. You can find decent curry pretty much anywhere in the UK. And we It was just not great for a singing, I suppose, just shoving yourself full of Indian food and then playing shows. But I have to live.
So where's your spot in Glasgow that you go and eat?
Oof. I mean, there's so many good ones. But whenever I go with my parents to this place called Balbiers, which is in the West End of Glasgow, and big fan of Mother India Cafe, which is like small plates. And yeah, like, so it was good. Really near where I used to live when I was at uni. And yes, whenever I go home, me and my best friend from university will go for lunch at Mother India. Every time we get 2 pints of Kingfisher and a bunch of small plates, and it's a really good day.
You know, because you listen to this podcast, we're going to ask you what your last supper is. Ooh. I wonder if curry is going to feature in this. It's a starter, a main, a pudding, and a drink of choice.
Okay. I think starter... I feel like for me, food is quite an emotional thing. I suppose that's for everybody. You associate a certain time with a certain food. And I think for my starter, I would like to have like my gran's vegetable soup that she would always make us. And I've tried to make it as an adult. My mom has made it. We've all made it. And it's just not quite the same. I don't know. Maybe she's just putting in a crap ton of salt. I don't know.
Describe it. What is it?
It's got carrots and maybe potatoes, but I can't pretend... I never know whether it's like rice or barley or something that she put in, but there was something...
Barley.
Something, and it would always... You would get to it at the bottom and it would be fully infused with all the stuff and it just...
And it thickens the soup as well.
It creams it up as well.
Yeah.
And I have like just nice memories of going around to her house when we were all kids and having to sit at the teeny tiny table where you were crouching on the floor to eat the soup. And she made us a lot of weird foods, but the like pickled beetroot sandwiches and things like that. Even as a kid, I was like, "That's bizarre," but you know, that's post-war time.
But you do
time.
Love pickles now. Maybe I do. You so try maybe it again now.
Maybe she got me. But yes, I would start with the nostalgic soup, and then I definitely have Mother India for my mains. And because it's the small plates, maybe you could combine a few little things on a plate. But I don't know. I'm a sucker for Saag Paneer, as discussed, and any kind of dal. They do like a lovely black dal sometimes, which is very filthy. And you've got to have a naan. I don't mess with Peshwari naan. I've tried it a couple of times, but it confuses me.
Oh, I like it.
Do you?
Which naan? So you just do butter naan or garlic?
I just go straight up, maybe garlic. But then sometimes I get upset about the garlic because I'm like, you're distracting from the dish, which is
I like them filling in a naan.
The Peshwari is like, it's like a fab. Kind of guilty pleasure. I kind of love it.
It's an extra little surprise.
Yeah.
Maybe I should I'll try again next time I go back.
Don't try in bloody LA whilst you're there. Don't bother. No. If you're going to try Peshwari, wait until you come back to bloody Scotland.
I think. With sweets all over it. It'll just be like sick. Yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of like an almond croissant, but like kind of coconut. Anyway, yeah, now that I think about it, yeah, it is quite weird. Yeah. Okay, so what's the pudding, or are you still got other small plates that you need to tell me about?
No, I think I'm good. Well, they do like a really good like chili king prawn as well, and there's always a tiny little new potato in the wrapper when you get it. I don't know why the potato is there, but I always enjoy potato. And I guess for pudding, I don't know. I'm not like I've got a massive sweet tooth, but I'm not a very good baker or anything. And if I go out somewhere, I would rather get starter mains than mains dessert. So I feel like it would be a nostalgic thing. Like maybe, like my mum, when we were kids, for like a birthday party or whatever, would make us little ice cream clowns. You know those things where it's just a scoop of ice cream. You put a cone on the top to look like a little hat and Smarties for a face. And it was probably like...
Oh, I love that.
Crap cone, crap ice cream, but it really blew me away every time.
I haven't done that for my kids, and I should totally do that. Ice there cream clowns. That's genius.
Church's ice cream clowns. There you go. Branded.
That maybe should be merch. Maybe you should have an ice cream store.
Yeah, something like that. Or like just a cream egg, Matt. I had to like...
Oh, God, really?
Body slam to try and get a cream egg out here. It was pretty tough.
So sweet.
Yeah, I know.
You're confusing me, Lauren. You don't do a Peshwari naan, but you do a bloody cream egg.
But I'm not putting like garlic on top of it.
Not with her savouries, darling.
Are you not a sweet and salty person then?
Maybe for like popcorn or something, but yeah, I don't know why. I think I have noticed as I've gotten older, I'm like, oh, maybe there's some weird psychology in that I don't like certain things to be touching other things, which makes me sound weird. But if I put, for instance, my little pickled onions, if I'm putting them on a dish, I will put them in a little ramekin so they're not... so I can apply them when I see fit.
Fancy.
But I don't know. I think that might be... I didn't used to be
you
like that.
You have to
that.
Keep things very separate.
So I wonder if that's like a control psychological issue that doesn't need to be there.
So you won't have the pickled onion combined with like the dal or anything like that. It won't be like you'll have the taste together. You like to have the taste separate.
I will occasionally take a couple and put them on top of, and then I'll know that they're coming. And otherwise it's like the little sorbet between bites. I don't know. Like, yes, it's been pointed out to me that that's
a palate cleanser.
It's a very odd way to eat. So, and I didn't used to be like that. So I do wonder, I'm like, oh, maybe things are going slightly bizarre as we get older. I don't know.
So, and what's your drink of choice?
Oof. I mean, if it's with curry, just a straightforward beer, probably. Like, they always, in Mother India, always get like a half pint of Kingfisher on tap. Just nice and crisp. And if we're being fancy and it's not curry, then I don't know anything about wine, but a quote-unquote nice red wine would be nice.
So what's on your rider with you and churches? Like, you and the boys, do you have a similar taste? Do you all kind of have your own riders? How's it work in a band?
We have pretty similar... I think I could look at it and choose what was mine, and then the rest of it's probably for the guys. But, yeah, like, we'll just get, like... a bunch of beers, and we have to think about the crew guys as well. So there was a while where we're like, maybe we should get light beers, and all of a sudden we'll get murdered. We can't be offering them like Michelob Ultra as they load out. That's not what they want. But Ian from the band is a big whiskey guy, so we'll ask for a Laphroaig or something, and he likes to take a bit of that. And then the drummer Johnny, he likes a little cocktail situation, so he brings like
Del Boy.
He brings his stuff with him, so he'll just be like, give me some bitters and a bottle of this, and then he has his like touring cocktail kit that he likes to roll with.
Oh my god, he sounds fun.
So yeah, well,
yeah, he's
a little fancy, so yes. And he toured with the Kills for a bit, so I think that helped him get chic and fancy as well. So he knows a way to do things, whereas I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'll have a beer after the gig, don't know. That's it.
So are you going on a big tour, Lauren, next year or this
you're
year?
You're really big in the States, aren't you?
Oh, thanks.
You are.
I mean, I think
you're
we do well. We do well here. And I guess we were trying to figure out tour routings, and it was just about where stuff was more open and more accessible first. So we love the idea of like being able to go home first, but it just didn't seem practical, the idea of booking a tour in the UK for the autumn time. So yes, we're starting in Texas in start of November, I think. And then
amazing.
I think the hope is that we'll be in the UK in the springtime next year. But it's
have you got dates booked or kind of penciled?
We have things penciled in, and it's just tricky because it's about like safety and where you can get to, who's taking tours in, but also loads of the venues are booked because it's all shifted lineups for the last 18 months. And yeah, so I feel bad when people are like, but you're not coming to XYZ place. I'm like, I want to, but we can't. So, but we will. I think, yeah, we're just feeling really lucky to get to play any shows at all. Like, I was talking to the band guys about it, and we were saying that this is like the longest that any of us have gone without playing shows since we were kids, basically.
Have you been in bands for your whole life, or have you been how did it start? How did you find that voice?
I was like 15, 16 and I started playing drums in a band. So I had played piano at high school, like since I was a kid, and then for higher music they were like, you need to have two instruments for your performance stuff, and I really didn't want to do singing because I think I'd hit that point of self-consciousness in life, and I was like, I will learn drums, and then drums could be my second instrument. And then I played drums in bands mostly.
But did you know you had a voice at that point, or was it kind of, did it feel like a unique voice?
No. I knew that, like, I thought I was okay. Like, I was like, I can keep tune and I can sing backing vocals and I like singing along to stuff. But I think it was just always, like, the self-consciousness. I never really wanted to be the guy in the band. And I didn't think that my voice was, like, very special or anything. So, and then I think it just kind of happened by default that I ended up singing in bands. Like, the band I was in before Churches, I was kind of sharing vocals with this other guy, and then he had said, you should sing more, you should do more of the songs. And then we recorded a EP with Ian from Churches, and then he had said that him and his friend were writing some demos which they thought they might try and sell for publishing or something and try and get a publishing deal. So he was like, if you sing some stuff, sing some backing vocals, sing some leads, then we'll pay you a day rate and that'll be good. And I was like, oh, lovely. And it wasn't, this sounds really like fairy tale, whatever, but Cinderella. But I just didn't think about it like that. I never thought that there was any exciting quality to my voice. But Martin from Churches always loves to tell the story that they were listening to the demos back and they muted his vocal, and then they were like, that's the band. Which I don't know if that's true, but that's how they like to tell the story. And I think, I don't know, I guess, maybe, I don't know how you feel about how you relate to your voice, Jesse, but maybe you're bound to think your own voice is bizarre. Like, sometimes I listen to it, I'm like, oh, what a strange tone. It's just, like, specific and, like, coming out of the front of your face. I don't know why, but it must do something. To me, I'm like, it's the means of getting the message across. Like, I would always sing in bands to try and communicate the thing. It was never like, I'm like, oh, I'm an amazing singer, everyone would be so lucky to listen to me. It's not something I ever thought. But
so you kind of like, you're the reluctant front woman.
I mean, now
you were.
Yes, I think, well, I just didn't ever think I was that good at it, you know what I mean? Like, I think some people, maybe it's about pushing yourself forward, or but some people, they walk into a room and you're like, oh yeah, they've got like that quality.
It's funny you talk about that, because I'm watching the Billie Eilish documentary. And it's really fascinating, because the girl was like, I mean, she kind of, it makes me laugh because she talks about hating songwriting. I mean, this girl is what, when she makes this documentary, she's like 17, and it's about the rise of her, and she's so self-assured about her. It's not that she's cocky at all, she's really remarkable, but there was like a total inner confidence and self-belief that she had with her, the way she delivered songs and all of that. And, you know, I remember watching Florence and the Machine, like, singing on tables. Anybody that listened, she was there in Elephant and Castle singing. And there was like this showmanship about it. And I was like, I was not that person. I was kind of like, sorry, yeah, I'm just going to do this. So no, I totally understand where you're coming from.
But then to me, I'm like, but you've got such a beautiful voice. And you, when you sing, it's like, oh, people will feel something because of what you're singing. So maybe it's like, we always want what we don't have. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I love the idea that my daughter sings He Said, She Said, and she doesn't actually really know what the words necessarily and the message means. But it's quite poignant and powerful. My little girl singing these words, and it's such a clever song, and it's so important. And the message is so direct, but yet my little four-year-old is kind of yet to realise those situations women find themselves in. It's a really, really remarkable record. I wanted to ask you, well, Mum actually asks this question all the time. Come on, Mum.
Do you sing karaoke?
I do. But taking back everything we just said, apparently karaoke is where I'm like, give me that microphone, get me up there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I don't know.
Your song of choice?
Oof. I mean, I definitely love a bit of Alanis. Never mad at that.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's triple headline tour that's Alanis, Garbage and Liz Phair. And like, it's been rescheduled.
That's your idea of heaven.
I can't wait. I keep, every time the date gets moved, I change it in my calendar. And I'm like, I hope I can go. I really need to go. Yes, I would do that. And then,
wait, so which Alanis song? I think you should know.
Probably you ought to know. Great. I mean, you ought to know it's good.
Yeah, you ought to know, and, yeah.
I mean, I love them all. I hate it when people slag off Ironic. They're all like, oh, well, it's not even what she's talking about. It isn't Ironic. Yeah. I'm like, well, you, what? What? Like,
Shut up.
It's one of the best, biggest songs of all time. People don't like something that's popular. She got too popular and people got annoyed at her.
I think she's got a great voice.
And
it's so,
like,
rousing.
She was so young when she wrote that record. And I'm sure that when it went across radio programmers' desks, a lot of men were horrified. But, like, she's completely iconic. And she was writing Like, when we were talking about He Said, She Said, there was a moment, but when we were talking about putting the song out, I was like, oh, I don't... It was a split second where I thought about, I don't want to alienate certain people that are listening to the band. I know we have a lot of male fans. I don't want to alienate people. And then I was like, hold on. Like, in the history of music, I don't think any man ever has thought, oh, I shouldn't put this song out from my perspective because it might alienate female fans.
Totally.
So I was like, okay, well, we just have to deploy it and hope that it goes all right. And I guess for me, we always tend to... I think what I love about Alanis' writing is that you know that there's a point underneath what she's saying, but she's not written it as a point she's making. Like, she's written it as a personal story, and you can extrapolate other things from that, if that makes sense. So it's not like a manifesto message song. It's like coming from a personal place, but you can tell that her life is informed by those things. Like, I don't know how you feel about these questions, Jesse, when they happen, but when people are like, do you write about feminism, do you write about women's stuff, and I'm like, but you, that's your life experience, so you will be writing about it in one way or another because it infiltrates your whole existence, so it will come out in your writing, but it's not like you write about only quote-unquote female experiences. I don't know,
did that become quite exhausting for you because you spoke out, back in, 2015, about kind of the rape threats that you were getting, and I'm sure you're so bored and tired of talking about it, but, you know, if people didn't know about Churches, which were a relatively new band at that point, I mean, maybe not, but, like, you know, maybe weren't a household name like they are now, and you kind of do this Guardian piece and you start talking about, you know, rape threats that you're getting and all of this... And do you feel like that's kind of now become part of your narrative every time you get interviewed and it just becomes like this kind of... And do you mind it? Is it kind of a bit exhausting having to feel like you have to have an opinion on every... I mean, look, He Said, She Said, is, to me, it's about gaslighting, it's about this control and all of that, and it makes total sense to me. And but that's through your music, and is it like, do you kind of feel like sometimes you're like, can I just leave it at the music, or do I have to really, like, do we have to labour all the points? I just put words in your mouth? And I'm sorry if I did.
No, not at all. I think that it's definitely come in waves over the course of time. Like, I think when we wrote the Guardian piece, it was just as the first album was coming out. So it did feel like that was what people knew about the band before they knew about the songs a lot of the time, just because of the nature of online press, I suppose. And I think I don't think they'd mind me saying this, but the guys in the band definitely struggled with that for a while, because they can be supportive till they're blue in the face, but it is upsetting for them when they go into a room and that's all people want to talk about. But then we had a big shouty argument about it in the dressing room once, where I was like, do you think that's what I want everybody to talk about all the time? But the difference is, you can leave and do something else and it won't happen to you ever again. Like, I think it was a weird, like, coming to terms with it thing. Like, well, there'll never really be a conversation around female art, which isn't about how inherently female it is. So I would rather have a constructive conversation if I can. But I guess what's different as I've gotten a bit older is I think that those feelings are reflected in the work more than they used to be. Like, the first album, there's absolutely nothing on that record that talks about any of these issues. And I think it dripped into the second album a little bit. If anything, I tried to deliberately keep it off the third album because I thought that people would stop asking about it, and it didn't happen. So now I feel like it's good that if those conversations come up, we can point them back to, like, the comment is essentially pretentious, but the comment is the work, if you know what I mean, rather than the talking about the work. And what I read something once that Elvis Costello said, talking about music is like dancing about dancing. And I was like, yeah. So I guess I would rather, when people are like, what do you think about it, I could be like, this and this, but it's reflected in the imagery, in the videos, in the songs. And yeah, I think there was a time where on the third record I was like, I don't want to put any of that stuff in the songs, because then it'll be even more likely that people will write about that, and more likely that you'll get pigeonholed as X, Y, Z kind of artist. But I think that's why sometimes, I don't know, I really love the third record, but to me it's a really specific moment in time where we were almost doing a little cosplay or something. Like, cosplay as another, almost in my writing, I was like, imagine that you weren't this person, that you didn't have to go in with all this baggage, and you could write about any of those things, and maybe it would be like, feel better and safer and more fun. And it was fun to make, and then when we put it out, I don't think it connected with people in the same way, because it didn't feel as honest or as vulnerable or something. And you still got asked all the same dumbass questions anyway, so I was like, oh well. Like, I don't think you should second guess creation like that. So that's all I regret about that, was me second guessing things. And I think if I'd wanted to do a character piece, then I should have properly done it, you know. So
where does the name Churches come from, and why has it got a V instead of a U?
Well, we had a lot of terrible band names. Like, at least I'm like, yes, you have your own name, Jessie Ware, and it sounds good, and it's your, you didn't have to worry about it, it was done. But yeah, I think we had a lot of one name that the guys were really keen on was Society, and I was like, guys, that's so pretentious. We can't go up every night and be like, we are Society. That's really bad. But yeah, so I think we'd written down like wooden churches and burning churches, and we were trying to go for that like black metal witch house thing, and then we were like, oh, maybe just Churches is cool. And I guess how we all grew up, there's a lot of religious baggage in that, so we were like, oh, it's a statement. And our friend had done a logo for it that was with a Roman U, and then we found out after we'd put a song on the internet, there was an American band called Churches, and we DM'd them on SoundCloud to be like, hey, what are you guys up to? You haven't put up anything in a while, what do you want to do? And they said we could be Churches UK, and we were like, well, that spells Churches suck on a poster, so I don't want to be called Churches suck. So then we were like, oh, we'll just make it Churches. And so it was. And somebody once tried to extort us out of a web address, because they'd registered all the Churches ones, and they wanted us to pay a very sizable amount of money and give them like lifetime triple A's, which makes no sense to me. But it was, our manager was very smart, and he was like, if we get, I think it's, is it Spain? And you can get church.es, and that to this day is our website. So don't try and kid a kidder. You can't haggle a Glaswegian, it's not going
to
work.
That is hysterical that they tried to bloody get you, and then they wanted triple A's for the rest of your life. That is amazing. Aren't you quite tempted to just meet these absolute just go see monkeys?
Just go see and give them, sometimes when I'm showering or whatever, I'll have my fantasy argument with people. I try and not carry too much rage, but yes, I think there's one person in the music industry I would still like to, and I've honed it, whittled it down to shame on you, and that's it, and then I leave.
I love that. That's like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. She's like, big mistake.
Huge. Yes, it was previously a long diatribe, but I suppose that's the processing of the grief or whatever. And now, 2 years later, I would just, if I see them, I would be like, shame on you, and I'd walk away. So,
lastly, Lauren, do you have good table manners?
I think my mother instilled in us good table manners. They've probably waned since being...
What, ratapooey? I don't think that's very nice.
Well, yeah, that's probably bad. But I know where all the forks are. I know no elbows on the table, no talking with your mouth full. And when we would do ratatouille, my mum would... we would get a count to three. You would get three goes. So if something happened, she would be like, that's one. You get one. And then after that, you knew. So ratapooey was one. It's one. And yeah, I just think that touring with feral men has probably lessened my table manners slightly. But I'm still definitely the most polite out of us, I would say. So yes, I always put the napkin on the lap. Don't cross people when you're passing, things like that.
Lauren, thank you so much for doing this. It's been a pleasure to chat to you.
Thank you guys for having me.
Good luck with the record. It's out, I think, on the 27th of August.
Is indeed, yes.
And touring, hopefully we'll get you over here soon, but otherwise the States can have you for a bit longer. But do come back to us soon.
I will. Thank you very much, you guys.
Thank you. Mayberry, like the loveliest, politest woman with the filthiest mouth.
Oh, she was delightful. She did have a big woolly on, darling. I'm a bit worried.
I thought you were going to say something else, Mum. Jesus. I don't know, it's raining outside. She was, I think it was a bit of a homesick cling to, you know, Scotland. Thank you so much to Lauren Mayberry from Churches. Album's out on the 27th of August. And I shall go to bed now, Mum. Are you going to go and eat your curry?
Yeah, I am.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Lauren. Thank you to Mum. Enjoy your curry. We'll speak to you soon.
All right, darling. Bye.
Thank you for listening. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.